Your reputation is your brand, and building your brand is key. On this episode of Sales Burrito, we have a special guest joining us today, discussing just how he built his brand through blogging and social media engagement. We will discuss how to increase your value in the market space through tapping this creative outlet. So stay tuned. It's going to be an amazing, sobering experience.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time! Welcome to Sales Burrito! The premier podcast for today's sales engineers working in technology sales, created by SEs for SEs, with your host, Enrique Barreto and Dave Siles.
You know, it's kind of weird to actually hear Dave start with the bump speech intro because I typically do it. So I'm trying now. Now I'm trying to fill in all this gap because you're good. And Dave, you don't have R's on your name, so I can roll your R's on the name.
Yeah,
so
well, how are you doing? Welcome with something, man. I'm doing good. I'm doing good. You know, it's 2020. Well, you can't have predictable in 2020. So
yeah, no kidding. Yeah. And with us, we have a special guest. It's a friend of mine. It's a colleague as well that I've known for many years now, the one and only Joshua Stenhouse. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, guys. I feel kind of nervous, actually. I watched a few of these. I laugh every time Siles fudges the outro. some great content. I've been working on my MS Word demo after the Peter Cohen session. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this.
That's amazing. Well, listen, we wanted to bring you in the show because out of a lot of SEs that we know throughout the world, right, you have a peculiar way on building your personal brand. And tell us a little bit about, how did you started, with blogging? How do you started with the wonderful world of what you do today, which is, educating the masses on your personal perspective. And sometimes these personal perspectives have some weight, right? So it's not just opinions, it's just the way it is, right? So how do you start with all this?
Well, actually, so at the time I was a couple years into my first SE gig at Zerto, and the director of B2B marketing at the time, Farah Hain, she did all the community relations as well with all the VMware bloggers, etc. And I'd work with her and come along and help brief them, etc. And she always said, Josh, why don't you have a blog? Like, you're as smart as these guys. And I'm like, yeah, I should. And it took about a year. And then finally, I had a reason to do it, which was I needed to create some scripts for customers that weren't officially supported by the company I was working for at the time, which was Zerto. So I needed a way of getting these scripts out to the world that wasn't officially supported, but would kind of look official. So I thought, well, two birds, one stone. Let's start a blog in 2014. Mm-hmm. Put some content out there, and only a couple hundred people even read it and went to it, but it was the start of the beginning.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Wow. I remember before I ever met Josh in person, I remember reading his blog and consuming articles, and it's like, you get to meet Josh, and Josh, what's the name of your blog? It's I love the name of it. And maybe you can give us a little bit of history of why you named what you named it.
Oh, so
Wait a minute. I have it ready right here.
Oh, here we go.
Hang on. So there's a reason that I married HR of Zerto Americas, and that's because if you marry HR, then HR can't sack you. But I'd say my relationship to the Virtually Sober is that when I first became an SE back in 2012, I couldn't believe that you got paid to talk about a really interesting product that hopefully you are interested in if you're selling it. That's my key requirement, number one. But then secondly, you'd go to these events and it's just free alcohol everywhere. And coming from the north of England, where anything free is amazing, it was like, so I get paid to talk about something I'm interested in. I get free alcohol in spades and I get to do it and I'm earning a living. It's like, for the first couple of years, I felt guilty about all my friends that I grew up with in England that was still doing regular jobs.
Yeah, that's great. And he buried the nugget in there. I think we have one new knowledge chip we're going to have to drop. Marry HR and you'll never get sacked.
I know. And by the way, this segment is not brought to you by Herradura Tequila. So I'm just going to put this and I'll just cheers, my friend.
Yeah, cheers.
Cheers.
Okay, we're good. Well, you have a very similar story, right? But it's mine, right? When I was an IT manager that I became to, aka the dark side of sales, which is the best side, by the way. I remember when I got my offer, and at that time was from Data Domain, and I'm like, wait a minute, you're paying me this much more for me to be in front of people to present a product and do a Visio diagram of a solution design? Sign me up. And it was an epiphany to me, because to me, it opened my eyes to this wonderful world. And then I did see that, you know, the grind of the consumer side can be escaped by going to something greater, you know, which is in this side of sales for sure.
Agreed. The first time I was approached for my first SE gig, which was at Zerto, I'd bought it, and unbeknownst to me, I was the first customer in Europe, and the website made it look like there was 1,000 customers. And the guy who I bought from reached out to me on LinkedIn and said, hey, we're looking for a sales engineer in Europe. Do you know anyone? And my first question back is, what's a sales engineer? Mm-hmm. So he laid it out. I didn't even know. Like, there was one salesperson, one technical person. I didn't know you called it that. And he explained it, and I said, well, me? And obviously he was looking for me. And yeah, that was early 2012 and the beginning of the switch.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we have that conversation a lot with our guests. You know, I think everybody wants to get bitten by the bug. There's no going back. It's, you know, it's the, if you're into it, it's the drug that drives us. But Josh, when you think about, you know, when you got started blogging, you know, what was the impetus for it? Was it just because you wanted to document knowledge? Was it, you know, is something you always had a passion about creating content? You know, was
well,
a gap in the market space? You just thought maybe, hey, look, I'm the smartest guy in the room. I can fill this content.
No, definitely not the latter. But I'd say, yeah, it was, first of all, I wasn't looking to build a brand. I just needed a way and with a fun title of getting content out to customers that didn't have to go through support. And it's just as simple as, hey, I'm going to build a post and put a link and here's a script and here's how it works. But then over time, I started adding more and more and saw the traction and people searching and the Google traffic, where then I started putting more time in and thought, well, I'm not just going to blog about, you know, scripts for this one product. I'm going to start sharing content of other things that I'm doing. Like, so the big change for me was like 26. So I started 2014, like a couple thousand hits a year, barely nothing, rounding error. And then 2016, 17, I started sharing, well, these are the labs that I use. And so I started blogging about my lab and then building a new lab and blogging about that. And that's when it went viral to a certain extent on Reddit, and I got a load of hits from that. And then that kind of was like the big change where, okay, now I'm not just going to post scripts. I'm going to talk about my lab. I'm going to talk about my industry views. Mm-hmm. And I'm still going to share scripting content, because if you just share opinion and you don't share any technical validation, I think it would lessen the latter. So the fact that I share scripts and automation examples means that when I give you opinion, I think that carries a lot more weight.
Well, what's interesting about what you're saying, right, is that I even remember when I first met you, it was 2017, and I remember reading the Virtually Solver blog about your labs and how, you know, compact your lab was, and, you know, the money that you were spending and the CPU cycles, right? It was, to me, it was back then, you know, when I first started at what I do at Rubrik, it was like, man, I really want to have one of these in my house. Because what I've always known about you is that, or any great sales engineer, right? They want to be self-sufficient, right? And self-sufficiency means not to be necessarily dependent on, you know, on the system, right? The system may provide you some things, but you have to be audible, ready to do what you want to do, to pick your mind, you know, of the things you wanted to do. So to me, that was impactful. And I'm sincerely appreciative for what you do. Now, let me ask you a question, because it's, you know, one of the things that I've seen throughout the years on your blog is, to your point, right? You start writing about your lab, and then you start writing about things that are passionate to you. You know, for example, I can recall a blog that was dear near to my heart, and it was a concept about deduplication, which for the audience is the ability to compress information multiple times that is redundant. And as you know, what was impactful for me, and I want to hear from you, is like, what drived you to create that in, I mean, I remember seeing some aftermath out of that, you know, some of it was good, what bad, but walk us through you taking that stand and saying, no, this is the way it is. And it is this way.
So I think there was a pressure building over the course of 6+ months where I was continuously engaging with customers and then hearing FUD from a very big competitor that had, I don't know, 20x more employees than my employer had customers. So the fact that they're spreading FUD about you is a compliment in effect, but they were continuously saying the same thing. And I could, you know, I knew from my own testing and from knowledge in the market that it was just completely incorrect. But you can say, and you can say, and you can say, if you're the small player in the market and the big player says, well, they're not this, then it's really hard to combat it. So after fighting and arguing the same thing over and over again, I thought, you know what? I have the mathematics, you know, I have a spreadsheet where I can prove that it's just how you measure it. So if I write a concise piece on how, given the new way that we do backup, that their whole methodology and measurement is completely incorrect, then I believe in my own work enough to stand by it, put it on my blog, and then I don't have to be on every call. I can, you know, give you a 30-second synopsis and say, here's a link. This is why you should totally ignore it. But not even that. Even if I'm not on the call, other sales engineers can say, well, actually, here's a link to explain why they're misleading you in that claim. And I think my ultimate frustration there is, as a customer, there is nothing more offensive to me than a vendor lying and making things up. And I was just, enough is enough, and I'm going to write a piece on it, because you just consistently lying to people about how yours is better when it's not.
Yeah, it's a great point of how you take your view and share it back to the world. How do you balance the dynamic when you write something like that, Josh, where, you know, you obviously are working for an employer and you're taking a contrary position against competition? Yeah, but you're not necessarily, maybe you are, maybe you're not. Are you speaking for the company in that perspective? You know, how do you kind of firewall, you know, the Josh brand from, you know, the attachment to the corporate brand?
So you kind of do and you don't. And it's a good question, because it's a very blurred line. And that's why, you know, anything that you do share has to be grounded in some kind of fact. So I'm always trying to ground it in fact. And if I can't come up with enough factual evidence to back my opinion and my statement, I'm not going to post it. And I think the best example of someone out there who probably actually maybe goes too far down the fact route is Josh Hodges, who works for Nutanix, does some great content, but he's just like, it's so factually correct that sometimes people just get lost in the whole point of this, is that he's just showing that they're lying. But it is a hard balance. I do have to make multiple revisions on content, where I could start with something really harsh and then I'll sleep on it, I'll go back and I'll tweak, and it's probably like the fifth edit by the time that I put it out. And quite often I'm reducing the tone to try and strike that fine balance in between.
Yeah, you know, I'm the same way. When I write content, I'm going to put it on like LinkedIn or, you know, a tweet. You know, I kind of write it and then take a pause and then think, you know, okay, if I'm reading this as my marketing person, if I'm reading this as my boss, you know, what's the blowback? Now, obviously, you know, anybody goes to my social media would completely see that, you know, I disclose that my opinions are mine. But at the same time, you know, I get paid a salary from a company that I do represent in the field. So, you know, I think you always do have to have that balance. But, you know, I always admire the fact that, yeah, you keep it real, as they say in the industry.
So wait a minute. So what you guys are saying is that it's not cool to say you guys suck. That's what you're saying.
It is if you can defend the position.
I say that. I think that's my opening gambit on most posts, is that this absolutely sucks. But I think the key thing I'm always going for is the customer viewpoint. That if you're being lied to and sold a lemon that is made to look like something else, then I want to share with you how you're being lied to. And that's ultimately what I really despise. But there's one thing I want to dial back to, Enrique, that you said, that I think is one key point here, and the labs and blogging about it, and just your whole approach to being an SE in general, is that one thing you'll never see me do is use a company provided laptop. Mm-hmm. No. And this stems back to my first role as an SE, where they gave me an IBM laptop that had a missing key. I'm like, hang on. So you're saying that I'm representing you as a startup, this cool new technology, and you want me to turn up with a battered IBM laptop? I'm like, no. Keep your laptop. I will buy my own because this is my image. And I think it's along the same lines. But you know, the best analogy I can think of is if you're a skilled carpenter and you start a new role, you don't turn up and say, what tools have you got? You're like, no, I've got my tools. I brought them with me because I've built them over time. I built my labs. I have my laptop. I have my Evernote account where I built my series, my own knowledge base. I bring those tools and that knowledge with me. And that's what makes me more valuable as you go along. But it's the same with the blog, that you're not just hiring Joshua Stenhouse out of a pool of 1,000 SEs. You're hiring Joshua Stenhouse that has a blog, Virtually Sober, that does X against 1,000 other SEs. And that is the difference of how you differentiate yourself in an open market is, are you sharing your opinion? How are you differentiating yourself against every other SE?
I agree. I mean, I know in the years that I've known you, you know, obviously, you know, you've been fortunate to actually speak to different audiences and whatnot. And I, as I've seen you talk, you talk with true confidence, and it's because you go, you know, just like any athlete, right? We see the athlete, you know, hit the goal or hit the touchdown, but we don't see what happens in the background, which is the background is the lab, right? You're working on it. You're working on scripts. You're failing. You get frustrated, but that builds your confidence to be able to say, no, this is the way it works. It is how it is. And to actually take that bravado approach is very hard to dethrone, you know? So I appreciate that. Now, let me ask you this other question. And this, you know, we're talking about our brand names, right? You know, your brand name, mine, as well as Dave's. What do you think that stops other sales engineers from doing the same things that you do? I mean, because it's not about, you can't tell me that it's about a blogging platform or, you know, time. What do you think it is? Let's try to crack the code on this.
Yeah, I mean, could probably discuss this for an hour in itself, but I think maybe there's this idea that you've got to create a brand and an image and a logo and all these different things. And, you know, by the way, I love the Sales Burrito logo, but coincidentally, there is no Virtually Sober logo. I never settled on one. I never even asked to design one. And all the graphic designers I was friends with, I was scared to ask them for a logo in case that I hated it, because then it might ruin our relationship. So I'd say, you know, don't focus on even having to have a brand in terms of, like, I've got to start with a domain name. It could just be you blogging your opinion on these set subjects where you're continually hearing the same themes on medium.com. So a great example there is my wife. We now have a 2-year-old, but for the first year, she wasn't working. And I say wasn't working. It's actually an infinitely harder job than I have or she has today, because it's easy to go to work. It's much harder to look after a newborn baby because, you know, if we don't pay attention for 20 minutes, nobody dies. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely not working. But one thing she started doing was blogging her viewpoint on how to fire people and do it in a human way. And we called it jokingly the Terminator blog series. And she just posted it to Medium. And she was just sharing opinion. It wasn't even a huge blog, but it built her brand. And then when she did decide to go back into the workforce at the start of COVID, and when she got the new role, bigger position, bigger everything, and she asked them, why me? They said, oh, because we read what you'd posted on Medium and we liked your viewpoint. So it's not even specific to sales engineering. It's cross industry in that, what are you putting out there that's differentiated? Because everybody's got a CV. Everybody's got one. Show me your opinion.
Yeah, it's a great point, Josh. I mean, you know, I think, you know, for a lot of our listeners, we have, you know, our demographics typically seem to be kind of the journeyman SE, and we have a good number that are just coming into the industry. And we get feedback from our listeners, and yeah, it's something we really appreciate here at Sales Burrito. But, you know, what's your advice? You know, what's, you know, not necessarily the medium of choice, but, you know, I like it was hard to break things down in steps, right? You can't eat an elephant in one sitting, but You know, if you want to start getting to building your brand, you know, what's your recommendation for people? Do they start on Twitter? Do they start doing micro posts on a Medium or LinkedIn? You know, what do you think is that I don't want to say the easy button, because there's no easy button here, but what would be your advice if you're going to give somebody, you know, that came to you and said, Josh, hey, look, I want to get started. You're a role model. I want to, model after. Where should I begin?
So you said one thing there, very important. There is no easy button. First 3 years of blogging, nothing. Right, no visitors, barely any traction. But I still kept posting because I knew that if you were searching for that niche or niche, to speak American, that you were hopefully going to come across it. And now 99% of my traffic is all Google. Right? Isn't nothing social media. But if you're going to start, you've got to start with the times when you're not doing anything, when you sat thinking about your interactions with customers, with colleagues, with how you compete in the marketplace. What are the things that you're thinking about? Your positioning, the common themes, your viewpoint, or what are the simple questions that everybody's asking that currently, if you search for, there's no answer? Those are the things you want to write about, is your opinion. Answer the stupid questions or the common questions that are coming up, and just get it out there and don't be afraid. That's the number one thing, is being afraid that what if I'm wrong? Well, what if you're wrong? Put it out there, test it. You can change it. Like, look at a script. If I share a script from 5 years ago and I read it now, I'm like, which idiot wrote this? But you evolve over time, and okay, you've got to, you know, meet your opinion, and you can't be obviously controversial beyond outside of technology, but just get it out there and don't be afraid, because what have you got to lose? Write a few posts, put some content out there. And I'd say that's one thing, is, you know, second tip is don't just do one post and then leave it. Try and build a plan of, like, what are the 3 or 5 posts that I might write about, and is there some connecting theory that I can apply to it? Because, you know, the content can dry up pretty quick. But even if you put 5 pieces out there, as my wife did, that was enough. She doesn't need to do any more, because this is my approach to this profession.
Yeah, it's good. It's great. And I appreciate you sharing the advice. I mean, it's kind of like when Enrique and I said, you know, let's take our collective knowledge and figure out a medium that we can we can deliver the content back in. And, you know, we're obviously not blogging it, but we're podcasting it and vlogging it. And, you know, so it's kind of the same thing. We have a plan of attack. We sit down every week and plan out the next couple weeks worth of episodes. And, you know, we have the world's most amazing guests that are in our extended network that join us. But it's all about, you know, kind of not only sharing knowledge, but it's brand building for us as well. And I'm glad you like the logo, because, you know, I don't know where we got it. Yeah. It was like we had the name generator going first of all. And we're like, okay, what are we going to call this thing? And then we did the whole play on the name thing. And then we were like, okay, well, it's available. Then, of course, you know, today's day and age, is the domain name available? And that's off to the races. And it's like, well, what's it going to be? And, you know, like, oh, we got to have a burrito, because it's got a sales burrito in the name. And Enrique is like, well, what are we eating in the burrito? I said, money, man. It's got to be cash.
That's sales burrito. Right? That's why the hair is like money bills coming out for sure.
So we really didn't think about it, but we thought about it. And so we kind of just fell into it ourselves. But, you know, Josh, it's been an absolute blast, man, having you join us. I think there's a wealth of knowledge in your head. I'd love to have you back and tap you. You know, I could think of, you know, 10 different things we could talk about for hours on end. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that it? Well, have we hit the limit? I got so much more to share.
Wait a minute. Let me take a drink. Yes, your producer. I need to make sure that we stay within the limits.
We didn't even talk about competitive content, and
we're fine. So this is where the editing is going to get interesting now. So we'll just take a pause. We're at 25 minutes. I was trying to be conscious, but
okay, roll the tape.
All right, we'll just take a big pause, and then Enrique will throw you the question, and let's talk about competitive, because then he can edit this, because we're not going over 30 minutes. I love it.
All right, 3, 2, 1. You know, Josh, before we close, I want to make sure that I talked about competitive. You know, I think that there is a lot of sales engineers that you know, they're afraid of taking punches to their competitors, right? And rightly so, as you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, right? You know, there's a lot of FUD or fear, uncertainty, and doubt that gets thrown out to customers that is basic, you know, basic lies, right? You know, what gives you, you know, what are some tips that you can tell our audience on how to not be afraid to compete?
So you can tell whether someone's actually tested something by the tone of the voice versus reciting something that they've read or heard elsewhere. And that's the ultimate way of how you have the confidence to speak authoritatively on the subject, but also in the inflection and the tone of your voice, and that's tested. Get a virtual version of your competitor's product. Look at all the demos, look at all the content. The last thing you'd ever see me do is go internally and say, what content do we have on this? I will go and form my own opinion. I will come up with my own strategy. I will test it. I will learn how they work and where they're stronger and weaker and what are the overall plays. And then I might look internally to see if that reinforces my viewpoint or can add anything to it. But I'm creating my own content and opinion first and then seeking for additional information on top. And the only way you get confident is by using it. And that is not even just competitors' products, your own product. You know, that's one thing I'm always amazed at is the number of SEs that don't spend enough time in their own product to speak authoritatively on what their product does. It's like, that's your job to test and know, because then you can speak about it and you're not unsure in your tone. You're like, yeah, it does this because I tested it. That's how you know.
Yeah. Well, imagine if the SE cannot speak on what your personal product can do. Imagine if they cannot even sell why this feature is good for you, Mr. Customer, right? So it's a ticking bomb. Like, you have to know, you need to know your strengths and your weaknesses, right? From my product perspective. And I like what you just said about testing that competitive product, right? I've tested a lot of products, but not as much as you. But I can tell you that one of the things that I talked in one of my previous episodes here was that I'm maniacal about reading manuals, right? And I find the nuggets within the manuals with the warnings, the, you know, be careful, you know, and from there, I'm creating my own case against that competitor, because then I can create empirical relationships saying, they're saying this on their manual, it's on page this, paragraph 3.
So it's useful. I have a funny thing here. Siles, you worked for Veeam, didn't you?
Allegedly, yes.
Yeah.
Did you know
that I was a Veeam certified partner for multiple years when I lived in the UK, because I became a partner in order to gain all of your content and licenses to compete against you. I used to get a call from this helpless channel manager every couple of months. They're like, oh yeah, you haven't sold any Veeam yet, how's it going? I'm like, oh, I'm just searching for that first deal.
No, I mean, it's valid, right? I mean, if you think about today's industry, there's competitive intelligence teams at every organization. If there isn't, then you're probably behind the eight ball. But yeah, I mean, it may have been done before. It'll be done again.
We've seen it. We've seen it. I mean, I think there's a company that I just recently saw. It's a, you know, a competitive company of our employer, that apparently he caught members of organizations or whatnot joining some of their webcasts, right? And asking questions and getting intelligence. At the end of the day, it is what it is, you know?
So open source intelligence, right? I think.
Exactly.
Yeah. To he who learns survives, and survival of the fittest is the people who have the sharpest knives, right? So, iron sharpens iron, and, you know, I think one thing that you can see if you read Josh's blog and watch Josh in action, you know, Josh is double-edged sword, man. He can slice and dice it and deliver it back out. And so, you know, I highly respect, what Josh does with his brand and what he's done in the industry, and obviously he's a world-class sales engineer as well.
Well, this kind of brings us close to our episode. Siles, are we doing anything for Christmas? Are we doing like free burritos still? What's going on, man? You're like the marketing on this.
Yeah, you know, we still have the challenge out there. When we get to our 1,000th subscriber on Twitter, we will give away burritos for a year. So, you know, if you're watching us on YouTube, you'll see the ad. You can hit the salesburrito.com/burritos or contest. Either one of those will get you into the information you need to follow us. And on top of that, you know, we are going to have some special holiday episodes coming up. We are looking forward to a few special guests and not necessarily who you may expect. So, and we're going to keep that. We'll keep that one for a little bit down the road here. But, you know, Josh, again, you know, it's been an absolute blast having you. I think you're a wealth of knowledge. Great friend, and we'd love to have you back on the show if you're willing to join us again. I think there's probably 10 topics we could go, you know, an hour deep on each, and you know, it's something that you know, I personally would love to pick on a few other things in your brain, because it's just smarter when it comes across with the accent.
Well, all I'll say is, yeah, name the topic, let's do it. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
All right.
So again, folks, you know, remember we are posting these weekly on podcast platforms around the world. You can also read us, join us at salesburrito.com, follow us on social media, and until next time, keep the knowledge going. And I'm gonna.
Yes,
oh, you pushed it
again. The best bit.
Keep the chips and salsa going, and the knowledge flowing.
It's on the script. Have a great day. Me.
It's just in front of you.
Thanks, keep it going.
We hope you enjoy the Sales Burrito Show. To subscribe to catch future episodes wherever you catch your favorite podcast. Follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook at Sales Burrito. Until next time, keep the chips and salsa going and the knowledge flowing.